Canucks Central Tuesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintech studio. Kintech, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet? What are you waiting for? Visit kintech.net. This hour of Canucks Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver home game gets $5 pints. That includes today. And every Vancouver hockey game of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza.
Pizza time.
And of course, if you want to be a part of the program, you can. 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. Metro Vancouver's trusted choice for contractors and rental warriors for over 50 years. Visit them at one of their three locations to serve you or online at dunbarlumber.com. It is another edition of Canuck Central. We got a game day today. Don Waddell, GM of the Columbus Blue Jackets, is going to join us after 3:30. A lot to get into, so let's get to it. It's the Open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the Open.
Four! That's your home! Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
It's the latest on the Vancouver Canucks, an hour take on it, and 57 minutes ago, the Canucks released a statement from General Manager Patrick Alvin, and it says this, Sat. General Manager Patrick Alvin announced today that defenseman Philip Hronek underwent a successful lower body procedure and will not require surgery on his upper body injury. Hronek will be out approximately 8 weeks. So the Canucks have now released news on the injury to their big defenseman.
Yeah, and the fact that they revealed two injuries is what caught everybody a bit off guard. But I guess it's not overly surprising because we'd heard a few Canuck players were playing banged up. And There's a few guys who, you know, they never revealed the nature of their injuries. We know that Philip Hronek, you know, you may have to give him truth serum to get an injury out of him, right? So it was always hard to nail down. But you could tell, like, that at times Hronek looked a little bit labored. And, you know, we know he's a better skater than what he's shown, but he was still good and he was still helping the team out. So it's clearly something that's been bugging him. I don't think it's something that he heard on that play, but I think it also shows the nature of the shoulder injury that this requires a little bit of time, even without surgery, that it was good to get the surgery out of the way on the lower body procedures. But we're still talking about 2 months. It's a sizable portion. You know, he'll be back before the season ends, but he's still out a sizable portion of the season.
So 8 weeks from today will put you at somewhere around January 28th. And of course, what we do know is there is a pause on the season once you get to February 9th of the year for the Vancouver Canucks. And it is a lengthy pause. So hopefully Philip Hronek will make it back before then, but you know, you're kind of right around the time that the bye week and the Four Nations face-off break is.
Yeah, and the thing too is when he comes back, is he going to be 100%? What does that shoulder look like? You know, is it something that he's going to be able to fully play through? And I'd say he will play through it, given that he's the type of player who will play through pretty much anything. And I think part of the reason why he was seeking all these different opinions was, how can I get back to playing this season and also take care of something at the same time?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, the thing he's taking care of is the lower body injury. The nature of the upper body injury, they haven't revealed either. But is he going to be able to be 100%, or is he going to be somewhat limited like he was last year in the playoffs when he didn't admit to having an upper body injury, but certainly had something he was dealing with?
Is it something that can only be fully repaired with a procedure of some kind? You know, that's sort of left in a gray area in the unknown. And, you know, those kinds of things, we've seen it when guys go through, let's say it's a shoulder surgery, you know, that those are months long to heal, sometimes an entire off season to heal.
Yeah. And it's a lot different for baseball, for pitchers, right? Yeah. Because they use the shoulder a lot differently than hockey players do. But if it gets to having a big procedure on the shoulder, usually that's pretty large, a long recovery time, which probably would put him out for the season. And we know Philip Hronek is going to do everything he can not to be out for the season. But hopefully it's not that, and hopefully it doesn't come to that. And he comes back in 2 months and he helps the team. Because we were all kind of concerned, did he suffer a season-ending injury?
Right.
And if he did, that would put this team in a really tough spot. And I think the fact that he hasn't is the real positive takeaway.
I mean, he's been playing. We saw him play at less than 100% through the playoffs last year, as much as he was unwilling to admit that there was an injury there. When the exit meetings happened and the exit news conferences, like, he can still play at a pretty high level at less than 100%. That's a big value of Filip Pronek. The thing is, he's a physical player, man. Like, not that he's out there throwing bone-crushing hits nonstop, but especially the pairing with Hughes, you know, he's kind of the guy that has to do a lot of the net front battles and, you know, be that sort of intimidator in front of the Canucks blue paint and making sure he's the guy boxing out at all times and playing that sort of physical in-your-face style that, you know, allows Quinn Hughes to do what he does so well.
Yeah, and you're right about how much even more physical he was this year compared to last year. And last year he did bring that edge. So he's a feisty player. He's a tough player, right? And as much as Quinn is the more talented player and Quinn is the star of the pairing, you can't diminish what Filip Hronek has done to help Quinn Hughes be as good as he's been together with him, right? Like, Filip Hronek has done a lot of positive things. Now, what Quinn's been able to do with Hronek out of a couple of games has been extraordinary. Can you keep that going for 2 months? Yeah. I think that's going to be the question. And is 2 months a long enough time for you? Can you get through 2 months with this current defense? With Quinn Hughes leading the way?
I think so. You know, the schedule is going to be tough at certain points.
Okay, let me rephrase it. Can you get through these next 2 months and keep the division, be in touch with the division lead?
It would be tough, but I would say yes. They can stay within striking distance of the division.
A big part of it, I think, would be if you have Demko back and he plays well, and you have Lankanen and Demko, you have a pretty good duo that can help you through probably some issues on defense, right? Yeah. That's a positive outlook and the hopeful one.
Like, Quinn Hughes gives you so much leeway in this conversation. Right now, you can't play him 31 minutes a night like you did the other night
The last two games, he's averaged 30 minutes without Quinn Hughes, without Hronek. Now, one was overtime, of course, right? But nonetheless, like, it's, I don't know if you can do that for 2 months.
Yeah.
And he's going to the Forward Nations. Yeah, the team gets a break. Some guys get a break.
Quinn Hughes does not get a break.
He does not.
And he's going to be the number one defenseman for Team USA as well.
Yes.
Maybe, he doesn't play PK for the Canucks really all that much, but he's going to be number one power play guy. He's going to be leading that team as much as anybody else. So yeah, there's not a break coming for Quinn Hughes, which can be troubling to a certain extent, but you know, I just don't know if there's anybody else on this decor that's going to be able to step up.
No. And we know the team wants to get help, but again, like, I don't know if that help is just around a corner.
There is not enough options out there. There's not enough quality options out there. And this is a team that doesn't want to spend assets. They obviously do and are willing to. They showed that last year and have since they came in as this front office. But I think you're still in a determining phase of just how much you were willing to spend to upgrade this current roster.
Yeah, and right now I think teams are asking for unreasonable prices, especially for the Canucks when it comes to these trade talks. So I just think they have to ride this out. It's kind of like, you know, you're doing a staring contest to some extent. You know, and teams right now I think are trying to give the Canucks to bite on something big, and I think they're refusing to, and I think they will continue to refuse to. Unless something like reasonable comes around. And that's the thing. And what's the pressure point for, let's say, even Pittsburgh with Pettersson? What's the pressure point for them to do this today?
Yeah.
They have until the deadline and wait to get the best offer possible, right? So it's kind of like a bit of a holding pattern still when it comes to the trade stuff. So you're going to have to deal with and live with this defense. And I do think that over these next 2 months, we are going to see some guys get called up.
You're going to have to take a look at some different pieces and see what they can provide.
Yeah, and I think as far as shaking the blue lineup, I don't think the organization is under any illusion that Pettersson or Kudryavtsev are going to come up and stick, and or even McWard come up and stick and, you know, be these players that help this team and lead them in the postseason. But I think the enthusiasm these young players bring, and I think the excitement they can bring for a couple of games and playing off the adrenaline, I think mixing those guys in a little bit can help the blue line stay a bit fresh amid not having Hronek, amid having some issues. And maybe those things along the way could help you just kind of like patchwork this until Hronek gets healthy.
Well, and I like Noah Juulsen's played a little bit better lately. You know, we saw him sacrificing the body the other day in the win over the Detroit Red Wings. Still need to see more out of Vinny Desharnais.
For sure.
Like, honestly, for as much as maybe you can bring up some other guys, like, Desharnais's got to play better. I think right now in the league, he's one of the worst goals against per 60 minutes in the entire National Hockey League.
He has been, him and Juulsen have both been good on the PK.
Yeah.
Which is, so you're getting utility. But you're right. 5-on-5, it's been a struggle.
Yeah.
And that has to improve. I think he can improve. It's just how much. Like, when the team got him, gave him a 2-year deal, I don't think it was because they were happy with him being a 7th defenseman who can be a 6th defenseman. The hope was, can he be a 5 maybe? You know, when we have some value here. That seems like a long ways away.
Yeah.
So for now, he's still in that struggle of, can he just be a 6 even, right? And I think that's where it's at.
So that's the latest on Philip Hronek.
And Dan from Langley says Forsberg should be back soon. We should bring that up. And, you know, I don't know if he's back right away on this homestand, but it's been a few weeks now, and I think he is getting a little bit closer.
So that would be good news. Also help on the PK, and maybe the Canucks could play or experiment a little bit more with Brännström playing the right side once Derek Forsberg comes back into the lineup. Continued, JT Miller remains out of the Canucks lineup. There is still an unknown here as far as when JT will specifically return. We've mentioned before, Rick Dhaliwal had said, Friday against Columbus could be a return date for JT Miller. And yet, for as much as he's on a leave of absence from the roster and is getting help, as far as what we heard from Patrick Alvin, there's continued speculation around JT Miller's future in Vancouver for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, there's always internet rumors out there, right?
Yeah.
And people are going to speculate, right? And I think there's also, you hear Paul Bissonnette, you know, on Spit and Chicklets bringing up the whole Pedersen-Miller thing again, right? Andy Strickland, you know, brought up the whole, you know, Miller thing and him going away from the team. So you're hearing stuff from credible sources too. It's not just like the, you know, some rumors from sources that are not yet credible at the very least, even if and maybe you get some things right here and there, but nonetheless, because of that, it's going to create questions, right? Part of me, it's uncomfortable because JT's on leave.
Yeah.
And everything we've heard is that this leave, of course, there is an injury element to it, but there is a legitimate, like, you know, mental element to it.
Yeah.
And with that being the case, it doesn't feel right, like speculating on a player's future, yet we're here, you know, doing this now, right? But I know Dhaliwal today said, you know, there's been no trade requests from JT or anything, and kind of, you know, try really quieted down some of the chatter. Everything I've heard, and I've been saying this, has been like, I'm not hearing anything about any trade issues. Like, JT's getting his space, the team is supporting him. This isn't a suspension type of deal. Like, that's all the stuff I've heard. Now, the team hasn't come out and said anything officially, right? And I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I know everything.
Yeah.
But that's just the stuff I've heard. And I think until JT comes back and he himself addresses things, we're not going to really know what the nature of what he's going through is, right? But as far as, like, even when the Canucks initially put the statement out, I don't think they did that without any, at least, input from JT, which tells you there is some...
Yeah.
There is some cohesion here.
Yes.
Right? So I don't think this is, you know, a unnecessarily dramatic situation. Let me just put it that way.
Yeah. And I get it. You know, there's always been a big conversation about Miller and Pedersen. It's an ongoing thing that I'm not sure, like, those whispers and those things will never fully go away, partially because they themselves have publicly admitted it hasn't always been a perfect relationship. But at the end of the day, Miller is a Vancouver Canuck, and I expect that to be the case when he does return from his leave.
Yeah. And like we said, like, I don't think this is a front office you can put anything out of the equation with. Like, for instance, of trading anybody. Like, for instance, like, as much as, you know, I don't think Pedersen is going anywhere, but would it shock you if tomorrow something happened? with this front office, yeah. I don't think anything would shock you, right? But I don't get the sense that there's anything going on right now of that nature with the team, right? And I even get pushback on some of the stuff about like reports of teams even checking in with the Canucks on stuff. Like that's you know, so that's where the things I've heard about it are. And until I see anything really compelling, it is what it is until JT returns.
We'll see how or if we get an update from the team when they return home from this road trip, which ends tonight in Minnesota. Canucks and Minnesota Wild, a 5 o'clock puck drop. You'll hear it here on Sportsnet 650. We'll have the full pregame show coming up at 4 o'clock. They just dropped Rick Tocchet's news availability ahead of today's game. Believe it's going to be Kevin Lankinen with the start, Gustafson for the Minnesota Wild. So we'll get more into the game as we get closer to puck drop. But tomorrow is a big day because Team Canada is getting selected. Our first best on best Team Canada since 2014 in Sochi. And that's very exciting for what we've heard as far as rosters are concerned. We know some of the Canucks that are going. JT Miller is likely going to be named to the U.S. roster. Quinn Hughes has already been named to the U.S. roster. There's a couple of others on the bubble of the American roster, like Brock Besser. What happens with Thatcher Demko? Probably not on the team, but Connor Garland's made a case to at least be in the conversation. Kevin Lankinen going to be on Team Finland. Obviously, Elias Pettersson with the Swedes as well. But as far as Team Canada goes, there's some real interest as to what this roster looks like. And I think there are going to be some names that people quibble with. But when you really peel back the layers of the onion, you can kind of understand it. You know, even like we heard yesterday from Philadelphia, that Travis Sanheim and Travis Konecny are likely going to be on the team. They were being congratulated at practice, and people are putting two and two together like, oh, they must have been gotten the call to Team Canada. So, and people are like, what? Travis Sanheim is on Team Canada? Travis Konecny on Team Canada? And, you know, it's maybe not the Kirk Maltby sort of inclusion on this version of Team Canada, but you do have to pick guys that can play different roles on the team, and that's something I think people need to remember.
Well, you need somebody to kill penalties. So go through the centers, right? So if you look at it and you say, all right, you have Connor McDavid, you have Nathan MacKinnon, and you have Sidney Crosby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Fabulous, but who's your like first penalty killer? Like,
who's the guy you want first over the boards to win a faceoff and start a penalty kill?
Right. Now, I love Sidney Crosby.
Yeah.
And Crosby can kill penalties. Is he out there to be your number one penalty killing guy right now? Especially
not at this
age?
Stage of his career.
Right. Like, I don't know if that's the role you want to, you know, give him, for instance. McDavid isn't really a PK guy, right?
No.
Like, at least not a first guy over the boards.
He's kind of like the way the Canucks use Pettersson. Like, on the fly, you'll bring him out there and maybe, you know, do the whole, you know, trying to score while you're on the penalty kill
kind of
thing.
And guess what? They're going to have to use those guys.
Yeah.
Because you need more than one center. So you need somebody that's going to be at least your go-to guy to win face-offs in defensive situations and also on the PK. So whether it's Cirelli or somebody else, I think you need someone like that on the roster. The luxury that the Canucks, Canada had, well, you can call them the Canucks too, they had Patrice Bergeron for the longest time on the team. He was like, okay, he's your fourth line center because he can do that.
Yeah. And he could play anywhere in the lineup. You know, he's great at everything.
And deserved to be on the team. Nobody blinked an eye, right?
Yeah.
But the reason Draper made the team and guys like even like Rob Zomner in the past made the team is because they provided something that the other star players don't provide down the lineup.
So if we were to name a Team Canada, what does it look like? Okay, we know the obvious names that are there. Let's start with the 12 forwards and the obvious ones, McDavid, MacKinnon, Crosby, all obvious. But where do we go from there? I think Braden Point is a lock on Team Canada. Sam Reinhart, following up his 57-goal year last year with another big-time season, is a lock. Mitch Marner and Brad Marchand are locks. and Mark Stone is a lock to make this team, especially with his defensive versatility. So that leaves, with Travis Konecny name kind of already out there, and we feel like he's going to be there, that means we've got three spots, actually just two spots to fill on this roster from the 10 forwards I've already named. And the two that get the most love and some of the predictions I've seen are Brandon Hagel, which is a bit surprising, but John Cooper is his head coach, and he's the head coach of Team Canada. And obviously, Mark Scheifele is off to a great start this year with the Jets.
Yeah, I think Scheifele probably makes the team. That would kind of be my guess, that Scheifele gets on. The question I have is someone like Bedard or Lafreniere going to make the team?
Well, I mean, I'd almost take Celebrini before Bedard right now.
Even him, you're right. I mean, Celebrini could be in the discussion too. Like, do you bring one of those guys on at the very least?
I say no. Like, even as a 13th forward, I'm not sure I bring one of those guys.
Really?
Yeah.
You think the difference between
As a 13th forward, I'd rather have like a Sam Bennett, maybe even a Zach Hyman or...
But the experience. Get the experience.
Man, they don't need... Go to Cabo, okay? Have fun during your time.
No. I mean, the thing I wonder about is, though, like, is Hyman really making that big of a difference? Any of those guys making that big of a difference? Bennett, you can talk me into, because if you want to talk about somebody playing, you know, a
like,
third,
I'd way rather have
line
Bennett
role.
Over Tom Wilson, let's say. Like,
sure,
he still brings that Sam paper effect.
I mean, if you have, you know, you go Hagel, Sorelli, and Bennett, that'd be a pretty good fourth line.
That would be a pretty good fourth line.
But you could probably convince yourself that, like, hey, Connor Bedard is so talented that if you put him in the lineup playing with any of these elite players, he might have a bigger impact than any of those guys.
You play him on the wing, obviously. He's not playing with the thing with Bedard, it's like, it's kind of hard to evaluate him given what's around him in Chicago right now. But I have a hard time bringing Connor Bedard with the way that his season has gone to this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think Celebrini would be a decent one, though, because he can play center and he's a left-hand shot. And I think when you look at Canada's lineup, like, obviously they have Point, who's amazing, and Stone's really good too, right?
Pretty mature player. He's like leading the league in puck battles one or something like that.
And
it's crazy.
And he can play the left wing, I think, on this team.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that, you know, I don't mind them having a look at.
All right. We'll continue our Team Canada discussion. So that's going to be a tease for you. But we want to make sure that we're on time for Don Waddell, GM of the Columbus Blue Jackets, when he does call in. So we'll put the defense and goaltending on hold for post our Waddell conversation. Sportsnet 650 and Barnside Brewing have dropped the gloves on a new pale ale that's perfect for hockey season, the brand new 5 for Fighting Hazy Pale. This crisp and refreshing hazy pale ale is a celebration of flavor and balance. Brewed with our own farm-grown hops, it boasts a delightful harmony of fruity and floral notes. Each sip hits at the juicy essence of ripe peach, complemented by a soft, velvety mouthfeel that keeps you coming back for more. 4 packs will be available starting December 9th at Barnside Brewing Tap Room, participating retail locations, or on tap at your local pub. And we're going to be there December 11th. Doing the show live with our 5 for Fighting Hazy Pale at Barnside Brewing. All right, Don Waddell is next on Canucks Central.
The most opinionated Canucks show out there. Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drans. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.